Let us turn now to the consideration of the Word of God and a portion in the chapter read, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And we may read the verse 7 just now. Mark chapter 5, verse 7. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. Now, I don't think that we need to be very clever or indeed highly, highly intellectual to envisage this scene. A woman coming in the crowd, up behind the Savior, pressing through the crowd to engage in one simple act. Touch the hem of his garment. Touch the tassel on his garment that was worn by the Jewish men. That's all we're told here. When she heard of Jesus, she then was of this mind, because of her condition, I will somehow or other, however frail I am going to manage to touch his garment. And she did that, of course, for a reason, believing that with the incurable disease that she had, the infirmity for all these years, if she could somehow manage to touch his garment, she would be cured of her illness. Every one of us, we have heard of Jesus, haven't we? The children have heard of Jesus. I don't suppose there is anyone at any stage in life inside these walls tonight that would say, I never ever heard of Jesus. We have all heard of him. But what we have heard of him, how has it affected us? How have we responded to what we have heard of him? Do we believe what we've heard of him? Do we act upon what we have heard of him? We find that in the ministry of the Savior, there were many healings undoubtedly and many miracles performed, many sayings of his that are not recorded for us. But we must understand that the whole scriptures from Genesis to Revelation is a revelation of God's plan of redemption. And that plan is unfolded stage by stage, but we have various ways before us in the scriptures by which the Spirit of God teaches us how we ourselves as individuals may become partakers of that redemption and that salvation. And one of the ways in the ministry of the Savior by which he teaches us how we may be saved is through the miracles that he performed, various healing miracles, for example, and how his power was put forth to change their condition, incurable conditions, so that we might have that hope and that confidence. He possesses the power to change the very worst condition. Doesn't matter how hopeless it is. He possesses the power to change it. And he is desirous that you and I might understand these things, and that when we discover ourselves faced with hopelessness, as it were, we are encouraged to come to him believing he can deal with what is impossible with men, because it is possible with God. And I believe in regard to this woman, when we consider a few matters regarding her, we may learn from what the Savior said. And he didn't just say it in order to inform her, but through her to inform us how we may be saved. And we have a responsibility, every one of us, as hearers, we have a responsibility to do something with what we have heard and to do something about what we have heard. When she had heard, how many times have you heard? How many Sabbath days have you heard? How many Lord's days have passed into eternity, and you have heard, you've heard about Jesus, you know all the facts, you could tell me about his birth, you could tell me about his death, you could tell me about his resurrection, his ascension, his humanity, his deity, his parables, his miracles, because you have heard about him. But you haven't done what this woman did when she heard about him. And that's, my dear friend, to your condemnation. If all these years you have heard, and you have not responded as this woman did. Very simply, we may consider this woman, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. This woman who heard. The first thing we will consider is her condition. It's very important that we know the kind of a woman who, when she heard, did what she did. It was because she had this particular condition that brought her to Jesus Christ. Anything, my dear friend, that brings a man or a woman or a boy or a girl to Christ is very important. God has all kinds of ways that he uses to bring sinners to the Savior. The second thing we may consider is the faith of this woman who, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment. The faith that Jesus recognizes when he says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the third thing that we may note about this woman, that when she heard, came and did what she did, was her cure. It would have been a great disappointment if she'd come and gone away in the same condition as she had come to the Savior. First of all then, this woman's condition. I wonder if those doors in the church open just now, and some frail, pale, little woman walked through that door, covered up with a shawl, covering her face, hiding her countenance, embarrassed that we would look at her, and that we would be taking note of her, I wonder how we would react in here. The Word of God is so descriptive, bringing our attention to reality, human reality. the realities that face the human race with all the miseries that are the result, as we were hearing earlier today, of the fall and of sin. What is the condition of this woman who heard about Jesus? We are told that there was, verse 25, a certain woman. We don't know whether she was originally rich or what status she had in society. We know she was certainly poor now, but we don't know much about her previous life apart from the 12 years of suffering. A certain woman, she could have been anyone. She obviously wasn't one whose name was well known, who was a well-known figure in society. She's just referred to as a certain woman, one among a multitude of women. Many other women heard of this same Jesus. But their response would have been probably very different. They didn't have the interest in Jesus that this woman had. They didn't feel their need of him that she had. When she heard of him, something began to happen in her mind. The wheels were beginning to turn in that mind and in her thoughts. I have heard of Jesus. And what I've heard encourages me to go to him. What I have heard does not discourage me. What I have heard does not put me off. What I have heard of him does not inhibit me. What I have heard gives me every encouragement to go to him. Now, have you heard? Be honest. Have you ever heard of Jesus discouraging you from coming to him? Did you ever hear anything that discouraged you? You heard something about Jesus and you concluded the last thing he wants me to do is come anywhere near him. Oh, everything I've heard about him points me in the direction of departing from him. She heard. And she concluded from what she had heard, he's the one I've got to get to. He's the one I must reach, come what may. I've been to many another. Here now, I must get to this one of whom I have heard. What are we told about this certain woman? She had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years of misery. 12 years of affliction. 12 years of grief. 12 years of robbery. Because we are told that she had suffered many things of many physicians. She'd gone from one physician to the other. She put her faith in men that she thought could help her. And what did they do? They took her money. They impoverished her. They drained her of every resource she had. And that you might think, how cruel. How wicked, what kind of extortioners were these? But that woman would one day be grateful. In the providence of God, he took everything. And he left me with no other hope but the one in the one of whom I heard. You can imagine the neighbors coming to this poor woman and saying, you know, there's a physician in Galilee, you should try and go to him. And she goes, she comes back, not better, but worse. And then maybe she hears, well, there's a physician in Samaria, if you could manage to reach him, he might help you. And she goes from one to the other, and they take her money, but they do not offer her a true cure. And so the poor woman continues year after year. Instead of improving, she's getting worse and ever worse. This is what we're told. She grew worse. Every year passed was to produce a year worse. And you imagine the scene in her miserable existence. Because you see, she didn't live in our society. She lived at a particular time in history, in a particular community, with particular religious convictions and superstitions. And the nature of the infirmity of this woman meant that not only did she deteriorate physically, and you imagine how frail, how pale she would become. And the years pass, no cure, she's getting worse, and she's getting weaker. You imagine you meet this poor creature in the street, and she's so weak physically. She walks with slow step, and she hides her face. She does not want to be seen or discovered because of the shame of it all. And so she keeps her shawl closely around her. She doesn't want to look at people, and she doesn't want them staring at her, because if they know of her issue of blood, they know of her infirmity, they condemn her. And there she is, maybe standing, gasping, holding onto the wall till she gets her breath back. Then she struggles a little further, and she stops again. A pretty miserable existence. But the great blessing is this. She heard of Jesus. And into that miserable existence, a ray of hope came. It was like a beam of sunshine into the darkness and the gloom of her miserable existence. She heard of Jesus. Now, because of the religious views of the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they would have looked down on this poor woman. They would have despised her, because they would have thought and said the same of her as they said of the man who was born blind. Who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because, you see, their religious views were that these kind of things were punishment for sin. And therefore, this woman is in the condition she's in because of terrible sin against God. She's a sinner. She has transgressed God's law. She is a creature out of favor with God. That's what they would conclude. She was one of the untouchables. You imagine if the Levite and the priest who passed by the man fallen among thieves, if they had come, those same priest and Levite, and they saw her, they knew of her infirmity, they recognized her. Oh, you can just imagine the pitiful scene. She sees one of these priests coming down the street. And she quickly pulls her cloak around and keeps her head down that he might not see who she is. For she knows he will pass by on the other side. He'll keep his distance. He won't want to come near me. And likewise the Levite. And you imagine someone of a mind to pray, going up to the temple to engage in religious exercises. And they know who this poor soul is. But I'm on my way to the temple. I'm going to worship God. And they keep away, lest they be defiled and then inhibit themselves and prohibit their approach unto God. No, they keep away. Why? Because under the law she's ceremonially unclean. Not only is the affliction making her life miserable, but she can't even join the crowds gathering in the temple, gathering to worship God, because she's not able to get rid of the awful stigma, ceremonially unclean. She cannot go up, having visited the priest, who will examine her and hear her story and give her his benediction. She's now ceremonially clean. Bring your sacrifice, bring your offering, and return. Her misery must have been great. And here she hears something. She's heard the law. She's heard the religious leaders. She's heard Moses. She's heard the law. And it condemns her. The law cannot cure her. There's no hope for her. Where else does she go? What else do they have? She goes up to the synagogue, perhaps someday, hides herself where she will not be seen, just to listen. And the law is read out, and she returns home miserable. I'm unclean. Oh, I'm unclean, and no one wants to associate with me. But she heard of Jesus. What a moment that must have been. She's listened all these 12 years to the pronouncements of the law. She's been listening to the religious leaders interpreting the law and telling her that she must stay away lest she defile the worshippers of God and so on. And she has heard of Jesus. What a wonderful moment. I've heard of Jesus. Ah, the law condemns me. But what I've heard of him, he will not condemn me. What I've heard of him, he will not drive me away. What I've heard of him, he has power that the physicians don't have. What I've heard of him, he encourages me. It's a ray of hope in all my misery. At last, I've heard good news for my poor soul. You think of this woman. She's nothing left. We are told that she had spent all. She's just like the prodigal son. In the far country, he spent all. Look at the condition then he comes back to the father's house in. Look at this poor woman. She's nothing left. Her condition has brought her right to the very depths of poverty and impoverishment. Someone might say, you know, Martha or Rachel or whatever her name might be, we have heard of a real good physician. He's very expensive if you get an appointment with him. But we are pretty confident he'll be able to cure you. She throws up her arms. I have nothing to take. I have nothing left. However good he is, it's not going to do me any good because I've nothing left. I've spent everything. And she just looks out into the gloom, and at the end of it, there's nothing but a grave before her. Death every year, every month, every week, every day is encroaching more and ever more upon her. And she heard about Jesus. He can cure, and he's not expensive. He can cure, and he doesn't charge for his services. What does she think? I've got nothing. That's the man I'm going to. If he can give me a cure, and he cures without payment, there's the very hope for me. I'm going to Jesus. I've heard enough. I don't need to hear any more. I've heard that. I've heard that this is the man for such as are in my condition. I'm going to Jesus. And so, what are we told happened? She, we are told, said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And we come to consider the faith of this poor woman. You don't need to be rich to have faith. You don't need to be in high position in this world to have faith. You don't need to know everything to have faith. And furthermore, you don't need a perfect faith to come to this one. Maybe you're here and you're saying, oh, well, I've heard all about Jesus. And yes, I've heard you need to believe in him. And yes, I've heard that if you believe, you'll be saved. But I have heard about weak faith and strong faith and historic faith and saving faith and spurious faith, and I'm all muddled up knowing nothing in reality about what kind of faith I've got. But I know this much, whatever faith I've got, it hasn't got me to Christ yet. This woman's faith was a faith commended by the Savior. And isn't that important? What use is a faith that he doesn't commend? What use is a faith if he doesn't approve of it? Now here we are, and you say, well, what kind of faith do you need to be saved? What kind of faith do you need to meet and to have the approval of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? What did she say to herself? She said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. I shall be made whole. And straightway we are told, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. Now, what did Jesus say to her? Verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, note that. Thy faith. It was her faith. So we don't need to start comparing it with anyone else's faith. We don't need to get out some renowned theologian who has written two or three volumes on faith and then take this woman's faith and compare it and then, oh no. It doesn't fit in here. It doesn't measure up here. What odds what anyone says? And this is what poor souls do to confuse themselves. Well, you know, I read a volume on faith. And I waded through it for 3 weeks. And I concluded at the end of it, that settles it. I don't have faith. So I found another author and I read through him. And I began to think at the beginning, maybe I have faith. But by the time I'd finished, I concluded, no, I don't have any faith. Or whatever faith I've got, it's not very sound. Well, forget about all the other authors and all the other teachers and expositors and interpreters just now. And let's see what Jesus said. He said to the woman, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. It was a sound enough faith to have the Savior's approval. And all you, my dear friend, need tonight is the faith that he will approve of. And if anyone disagrees with it, send them packing. That's all that matters. Does he approve of it? Is it pleasing to him? Does he justify it? And what about this woman's faith? You know what some would be saying? Woman, you better just go home now. Because your theology's not right. Why do we say that? Well, look at her thinking. She said, if I may touch, I do something. Hold on a minute, woman. We just want to inform you, salvation is without works, you know. You don't do anything if you're going to be saved. You can't expect a cure for your soul, your poor, lost, perishing soul that there's no cure for. There's no physician on the earth. There's no theologian. There's no expositor. There's no preacher can save your poor soul. You must come to Christ. And you must believe in him. And you must put your faith in him. And you must get rid of all your works. Well, this woman, what's she thinking? If I may touch, I'll have to do something. If I may but touch. Now, did Jesus say, woman, I have to clarify something to you? You should never have touched me. You should not have laid a finger on me. I would cure you like the blind. I would cure you like the man at the pool. I just need to speak the word. And you better believe that. I just speak the word, or I may touch you, and then you'll be healed and you'll be cured. This woman didn't know everything. And she certainly was no theologian. But she heard of Jesus. And that's all that mattered. And she, when she heard of Jesus, knew enough about him to know that he can have pity and he can have compassion, even on the ignorant and them that are out of the way. You ask this woman, maybe a month after she's experienced this great cure, how did you come about to have this cure, this miraculous cure? She said, well, all I did, I just touched his garment, and immediately I was healed. So you were healed as a result of your works. Was not a work. You did something. You did something. Ah, see, that's what it's all about. You have to work out your own salvation. You have to do something. And then you'll be cured. Then you'll be healed. Well, she said, well, that's all I did. I just believed if I could manage to touch his garment, I would be healed. Now, she never touched his body. She simply touched his garment. She perhaps was mixed up because the garment was but a garment. There was no curing virtue or power in that garment, perhaps mixed up with her faith and her ignorance, was superstition. Wouldn't you think that? Isn't that what you would conclude? The woman must have been a bit superstitious because she lived in a society where they had great confidence in charms and magic and all kinds of things. The woman was obviously quite mixed up. You wouldn't want to rely too much on her theology or her understanding or her knowledge. But she heard of Jesus, and she came in the condition she was in. She came with the knowledge she had, which didn't appear to be very much. She came with her ignorance. She came with her customary superstitions, you might say, whatever. She wasn't able to leave all the baggage behind. She didn't go to classes in order to make preparation. I want to go to Jesus. Now, will somebody explain to me how I ought to go to Jesus? How I ought to prepare myself. How should I address him when I meet him? Should I bow to him? Should I salute him? Should I go on my knees before him? What should I do? There was nothing of that. She heard of Jesus, and her mind become filled with Jesus. And all she could think of was Jesus. And that's all, as far as she was concerned, she needed to know. I'll go to Jesus and he'll understand the whole situation. And he'll explain anything I need explaining. And he'll teach me anything I need to be taught. But I'm going to Jesus. What took her to Jesus? It was faith. And whenever faith takes a sinner to Jesus, is saving faith. Any faith, however marvelous it may appear in the eyes of men, if it doesn't take the sinner, the perishing sinner, to Jesus, it's a spurious faith. It's a spurious faith. Now this woman, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." He didn't say, "Thy finger hath made thee whole." "Thy faith hath made thee whole." He didn't say, "Because you've touched me, you're made whole." What did Jesus say? "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole." And however little she understood, she went to Jesus with enough faith, in spite of all her ignorance, that brought her into contact with Jesus. And that's what you and I need. In all our perishing condition, we must come into contact with Jesus. And this woman, her faith was such that she tried to actually avoid personal contact with Jesus. She hid herself, we are told. Jesus wanted to know when he experienced virtue going out of himself and it passed into this woman with healing power. Jesus, knowing in himself, verse 30, that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" My, isn't that something? The disciples were amazed that Jesus even asked such a ridiculous question as it appeared to them. Because we are told that the multitude thronged him. And what it actually means is this: the crowd was so great and intense that they were crushing in upon the Savior. Pushing in, as it were, from every direction. It means that it was almost for the Savior himself stifling. It means he could hardly breathe. The crowd was so intensely pressing in upon him. After all, nobody wanted to miss what they were expecting to see. Because a man has come to Jesus, "My daughter is dying, come quickly and heal her." Who was going to miss that? They're all pushing and shoving, and they're all wanting to be, "We want to see this. We want to see this miracle. We're going to make sure we're in the front row to see what happens. We don't want to miss it. It could be a very, very quick miracle and we want to see it for ourselves." And here is this woman. Who knows who was making up the crowd? Sadducees, scribes, Pharisees. And this poor woman, she has heard of Jesus. Oh yes, she's heard of the Pharisees and the rabbis and whoever else, but she's heard of Jesus. And whatever she has heard convinces her of, "I can." Her thoughts may have been muddled up. And maybe a many a one would say, "Woman, you're a fool. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't even understand things. Imagine thinking you'll be healed if you go and touch the garment of Jesus. What kind of a mentality do you have?" But you see, when faith is put into the soul by God the Holy Ghost, it doesn't take no for an answer and it refuses to be discouraged. And when faith is the gift of God into the soul, that faith will press against every difficulty and overcome every obstacle. I have heard of Jesus, and to Jesus I will go, and to Jesus I must come. Now, what did she do when she touched the hem of his garment? When she touched, it would be the tassel on his Jewish garment. She would touch it. She was healed. That's all she wanted. She was content. I'm healed. My life all changes now. I'm a different woman. My youth will return. My health and vigor. I'll be able to join society. Nobody will frown on me now. Nobody will pass me by. The vigor of youth, the color in my flesh, my cheeks, the glow will come back. And now life will be so much improved. She hid, we are told, when Jesus asked, "Who touched my clothes?" He looked around. Luke tells us that Jesus, when he asked this question, the woman was afraid. And she hid herself. Why? She hid herself in shame. She hid herself in fear. She hid herself in embarrassment, because it was an embarrassment to have her illness and to have to admit it. You imagine the Pharisee. "What's wrong with you, woman? Why are you hiding?" "Well, I have this affliction." "Oh, I see. So you're a sinner. Oh, you're not in favor with God, woman. You better go away and search out your sin, and you better go to God and seek mercy. And you better not be appearing amongst the righteous and the godly." What about Jesus, that was recognized as such a great teacher, as Nicodemus said, "Thou art a teacher sent from God. Thou art the great rabbi, the great teacher." This woman has dared. Oh, my faith will dare. And this woman's faith dared. I want no one to know. I want no one to detect it. In secret, I will come up behind where he will not know who it was. He will not know it was this poor condemned woman. He will not know it is this poor woman who's cast out. He will not know it is this woman who doesn't touch, lest she defile. He won't know. You imagine some admirer of Jesus, maybe Nicodemus, and he knows this woman. "How dare you, woman? How dare you, in your condition, touch the rabbi? How dare you? You filthy article of a woman, touch this man, Jesus. Don't you know who he is?" You see the difficulties this woman was faced with. But faith defied everything. And faith reached the Savior. And she touched his garment, however we may think of it. She discovered that Jesus was sympathetic, Jesus would receive her, and that this Jesus of whom she heard, the half had never been told her. Oh, that was the wonder of every one of you who are the Lord's people. Don't you know this? When you came to Christ and you thought you knew enough about him to bring you to him, what have you discovered since? The half has never been told me. I never thought he was such a wonderful, glorious Savior. I never imagined he could be so wonderful as he has been to me. And what happens now? The cure of this woman. What a cure. It was a blessed cure indeed, because it was instantaneous. Do you think that's right? 12 years. 12 long, weary, dreary years, getting worse and worse. Wouldn't we be thinking, well, it's going to take a long time for a recovery. If you can find a physician somewhere and he can offer you a cure, well, it's going to take a long time for a recovery. You don't get rid of a 12-year disease and a 12-year affliction in an instant. But she came to Jesus. She had heard of Jesus. That's the thing. She heard of him. And when she came, she touched his garment and she was cured immediately. You know, I have met poor souls. And in reality, they are to be pitied. They're sitting under ministry, supposed to be reformed. Supposed to be evangelical. And when they start examining poor soul, what stage are you at? What stage? I might be at stage 1. I've struggled to 3. But I've 4 steps still to go. Because you see, it's a long process to get to Jesus. And it's a long process to actually be converted, you know. No such a thing as instantaneous salvation. You have to go through a lot of stages. And you have to be sure before you try to get to stage 3, you've sufficiently managed to get to the end of stage 2. And you can't think of faith until you're absolutely sure and certain my repentance is perfect. Don't be thinking of faith till you're sure you've repented enough. You have to make sure that you've completed the course in stage 2. And you've completed the course in stage 3 before you get to 4, 5, and 6 and so on. And if you live long enough, and you're one of the elect, and God has ordained you to eternal life, you'll make it before you leave this world. This woman, in all her ignorance, and all her frailty, she heard of Jesus. And faith cometh by hearing. And what she heard convinced her, my greatest need is Jesus. Well now, maybe. I'll see how far I can travel today. And maybe tomorrow I might get another mile or two. Maybe by the end of the week I'll eventually reach Jesus. And then, of course, I'll have to introduce myself. And I'll have to make sure I'm presentable and respectable, you know. It's Jesus I'm coming to. This is the Son of God, after all. He's the greatest rabbi around. You don't come into the presence of the rabbis and the Pharisees like a ragamuffin. You don't do that. She came to Jesus as she was because she couldn't improve herself. She couldn't do it. And she was forced to come to Jesus just as she was. Ah, my dear friend, why will you not come to Jesus just as you are? Why do you think I've got to get through another stage of improvement? Why do you think that is necessary? Did you hear that from Jesus? Is this what you heard about him? Is this what you heard that he expects? She came to Jesus and she had an instant cure. Immediately. But it was free. She didn't have to pay anything. Maybe when she touched the garment of the Savior, she thought, I'll quietly get away. Maybe the disciples might get hold of me and they might say, what's happened to you, woman? A minute ago we watched you stooped and weak. And now you've straightened up. We saw you touch the Savior's garment. You're indebted to him. Would you like to offer? Maybe you could give a few coins to Judas to put into the purse. No. It was free. Glorious, free cure for our body. But as we shall see, a glorious cure for our poor soul. So you can be as poor can be, and you can come to Jesus in your poverty. You can be as ignorant and still come to Jesus. If you have heard about Jesus enough that would encourage you to come to him, you've heard enough for the present. Oh, this woman, when she left Jesus, she had a different knowledge of him. She had a different understanding of him. She learned of him quickly. But she came as she was. And what do we read? That Jesus knew she had touched his garment. Isn't that something? He knew. She didn't touch his hand. She didn't touch his feet. But he knew she had touched his clothes. Faith, however poor it might be, is something Jesus never fails to recognize. Never. It may be weak, weak, weak faith, but he always will recognize it. And here is this woman healed freely. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come without money, without price. It's a glorious free salvation, a free cure for the sin-destroyed soul. But this woman's cure was complete. It was complete. Instant, free, and wonderfully complete. Jesus, what did he say to her? He said to her that she was cured and that she was made whole. She was a whole woman now. She's complete. Her cure is complete. She doesn't think, well, I feel a little better. At least that's something. I've never felt as well in all my life. as I'm feeling now. Did that mean she was cured wholly? I don't feel as bad today as I felt yesterday. Something has happened. Some people are very content. They have a little experience. I feel better now. I have a little religion. I feel better now. I said a little prayer. I'm feeling better after that. I read a few promises from the Bible. I'm feeling better now. This woman didn't go through a lot of stages of improvement. She was cured completely. Absolutely cured and made whole. And the Savior doesn't offer salvation in stages that you'll get a little bit today. And if you're good, you'll get a little bit more tomorrow. And if you're really showing interest, maybe you'll get a little bit more the next month or two. It was a perfect, complete cure. She was made whole. But you know, she got far more than she ever expected. Far more. Here's this poor woman. She'd heard of Jesus. Whatever she knew this. He's different. And whatever I know of him, everything I've heard encourages me to go to him. And when Jesus then searched her out, she came trembling. I'm going to be exposed. Everybody now is going to look at me and stare at me. Many are going to denounce me, and many are going to criticize me, that brazen woman. Imagine. She knows perfectly well what the law says. She knows perfectly well she's ceremonially unclean. And she would have the audacity, the brazen woman, to come and dare to touch the garments of this great teacher that crowds are all gathering around. But Jesus wanted her to meet him, not just to touch his garment, but to meet him face to face. And so he draws her out of the crowd, and he draws her to himself. If she hadn't come and touched him, she would not have had this experience. If she hadn't come in her ignorance, and she hadn't come with the poor faith that she had, and if she hadn't come with her confused thoughts, she would not have met the Savior as she does here. But what does he do? He calls her out of the crowd. We're told she came trembling and fell down before him. And verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. And listen, told him all the truth. Told him all the truth. And now, what does he say? We're told that when she told him all the truth, you imagine going to the Pharisee and even telling him a little of the truth. Fine woman, if you can just move on. She goes to the Levite. I have to confess that I'm this poor woman that's impoverished now because my condition, and this is my story. Oh, well, we understand. We're very sympathetic, but if you could just, you know, just keep out of the way. Because remember, you could defile. We would appreciate you just move on. Just keep your distance. She came to Jesus. And what did he say when she fell down and told him all the truth? Did he say, well, everyone, take note. Look at this poor sinful woman here. Take note. I draw your attention to her. I want you to note what happens when you're a sinner and embarrass her and expose her. As she told him all the truth. Have you ever gone and told him the truth? Have you ever gone to the Savior and been honest and told him all the truth? Told him about your sin? Told him what you've done? Been honest? Hiding not? She told him everything. You can see these religious leaders, boy, boy. Just watch now to see what Jesus does. Oh, we're hearing the truth now, all right. What a story. What a woman. She'll not be around here much more. He'll be chasing her off. No, what did he say? The most beautiful word. He said unto her, daughter. Notice what, it's a title. The capital, look at the capital. Daughter. Daughter. Whose daughter is she? She's the daughter of whom we were singing, or one of those daughters of whom we were singing. She's the daughter of the king. Oh, they'll crucify him soon. They'll say, away with the king of the Jews. Jesus. Daughter, she'd never heard such kind word in all her life. Daughter, I'm his. I'm associated with him. He's made me, he's taken me into his family. Everybody else wants rid of me. Everybody else despises me. He said, daughter. And then he said more. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Because she had enough faith, it was poor faith. It was mixed up faith. It was faith that many would not think very much of. But it brought you to me, and I heal you. And what did we read? What do we read? Said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Go into peace, it means. You don't have to go to the priest. You don't have to go with your offering. Daughter, you're my daughter. You belong to me now. Let anyone say what they want about you. Let them think what they will about you. You're my precious daughter. You're my daughter. You're the daughter of the king now. Go in peace, because I don't condemn you, and I don't ridicule you, and I don't despise you. I give you my blessing, and I give you my peace. And what kind of peace does Jesus give? The peace that passeth all understanding. She could go away. I was terrified. Oh, she could say my heart was thumping. And I wondered, what is this crowd going to think of me? But when Jesus said, daughter, go in peace. Oh, there was a flood of peace came into my soul. And I didn't anymore care what anyone thought or what anyone said. I could not believe it. Daughter. 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 I'm the king's daughter. He took me in. He didn't say, woman. He said, daughter. You imagine when she'd go home, well, well, I got far more than I ever thought I would get. What I heard of Jesus was enough to encourage me to go to him. But when I came to him, I got far more than I, even my little faith, thought I would get. And every child of God can testify here tonight how true that is in their experience. But listen, my dear friend, how long have you been hearing about Jesus? You still haven't gone to him. Why? Why have you not gone to him? Heard all about him. Has he ever discouraged you? Has he ever once put an obstacle in your way? Has he not been saying, come, 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 come. May you come. If this woman could come as she was, you can come as you are. And may you come. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Most holy and eternal God, we bow before thee, and we must in humble gratitude thank you for this Savior. What a Savior thou hast provided. This man that receiveth sinners, this man that receives the ignorance, this glorious Redeemer who responds to poor, feeble faith. May we all take encouragement and come to him for the healing and cleansing of our souls. Oh, grant that some would come and find the blessings of salvation and hear the Savior say, daughter, daughter, go in peace. Oh, grant it. Pardon us, accept us for the Redeemer's sake. Amen.